All right, welcome to this month's edition of The Inner Circle. I've been getting a lot of feedback from you guys telling me that you wanted to know more about social proof techniques. So if that's what you want to know, then that's what you're going to get. So first off, the major quality that makes someone an alpha male is social proof. Proving that he's the man, proving that she's the person that everyone wants to hang out with. Social proof is proving to your society around you that you should be number one. Doing things that make people think, wow, this guy's cool. The more people that are giving you compliments and thinking, wow, that was good, that you're the funny guy, whatever your niche is for this, then the more social proof you'll have. All right, so there are three main types of social proof. So the first social proof example that I'm going to give you is to be the knowledge guy. Being the knowledge guy is basically what it sounds like. It's all about being the guy who is knowledgeable, the guy who knows the trivia, the guy who knows the interesting facts or the stupid stuff. The point here is just become someone who's interesting, and you can spout out interesting stuff to immediately gain social proof. And think about it. If someone sits there and tells you a crazy fact that you never knew and follows it up with another, you're like, yeah, I could sit there and listen to this guy for a bit. This is pretty cool. This is an interesting guy. Now, as an example of becoming the knowledge guy, I'm going to give you one example of something I like to use, and that is being the guy who knows a lot about the unexplained. Now, the reason why is because this kind of stuff interests everyone. So, for example, did you know that we actually have no idea how the Egyptians built the pyramids, and even with today's technology, we couldn't build them even if we tried? And as well as that, the Egyptians literally documented everything they did on a day-to-day basis, but the only thing that is not documented in their history is how the pyramids were made. Okay, so that's an example of being the knowledgeable guy. Just knowing things which are interesting to other people make you an interesting guy. And if a conversation ever gets boring, or if I'm needing to overtake someone, then I just spout out some interesting knowledge, and I'm back in control of the frame, and this is giving me social proof. I mean, think about how much you can talk about that kind of stuff and keep a conversation going, and something which you then brought to the table. So anyway, this is providing social proof, proving to people why you have a high social status. You're an interesting guy, and you know these interesting facts. Now, the next one is to be the funny guy. Now, there are two types of funny. You have joke funny, and you have witty funny. If you want to get better at witty funny, then you just have to practice. And I know a lot of people will say, I'm just not the funny guy, and I'm just not one of those people that thinks on my feet. Well, no one is born like that. It just takes practice, okay? So get out there and practice being the witty, funny guy. With joke funny, all you need to do is get online, learn some funny jokes, and if you're a bad joke teller, then just learn some one-liners. And the last social proof is the mind tricks. So things like influencing someone's mind to make a certain choice, or mind reading. And these are really good social proof tricks that usually work, and people are just blown away, and they're like, how did you know that? And then they see you as a guy who's really interesting and funny and even has neat little tricks, and it gets people talking about you. And obviously, anytime anyone's talking about you, then they're upping your social proof and putting you in an alpha stance. So a perfect example of this kind of social proof is the looking glass. The looking glass technique is something you can use as part of a normal conversation, and it's basically some devastatingly powerful cold reading which will let you stand out from anyone else your target is ever likely to meet. So the first step is to do a cool psychic trick where you're able to guess either your target's birthday or their middle initial. The second part of the looking glass is to do some hardcore cold reading to demonstrate an understanding of their reality and pull them into your world. So it's pretty cool stuff, and it's such a powerful technique that as soon as you use it, you will immediately be seen as someone who has a real understanding of people, and this is one of the most attractive traits to possess. Now, as I've said, there are two parts to the looking glass technique. And the first part can be done in two different ways. The first way you can do it is by guessing your target's birthday. But the problem with this technique is you need to have a good wingman to assist you. But hopefully by now you've got some good betas by your side if you've been using the techniques we talked about in the alpha control section of this course. If you're alone, then you can use the solo version where you guess your target's middle initial. So if their middle name is John, this technique will let you guess J. If they don't have a middle name, then you can just guess the initial, their first or last name. So if you have got a friend you can trust, you can easily guess your target's birthday. And the way you do that is you go into the other room or a place where you can't hear your target tell your friend what their birthday is. Then you come back in and your wing will use the psychic code to let you know the birthday of your target. Now, before I tell you what this is, don't worry, you don't need to write it down right now. I've included it in the PDF so you can just download it, memorize it, and put it to work for you. So here's the code. 1 is I, 2 is so or go, 3 is try, 4 is will, 5 is would or could, 6 is please, 7 is quickly or perhaps, 8 is now, 9 is alright, and 10 is okay. Now, if you miss a cue from your wingman, then you need to say, you're a hard person to read. If your wingman messes up a cue, then they can say, delete to you to erase what was just said. Now, I know this might sound a little bit confusing, so let me break it down for you. So let's say you decide you want to use the looking glass technique on your target to demonstrate value. So what you need to do is tell your target that you can guess their birthday, and then you go out of the room as your target tells their birthday to your wing. When you come back in, this is when it all starts. So let's say your target's birthday is the 9th of March. So you come back into the room, and right away your wing says to you, all right, try and tell us what it is. And that's it. That's all my wing needs to say to me, and I know it's the 9th of March. Because if we go back to the psychic code, all right means the 9th, and try means the 3rd month, so the 9th of March. Okay, so just to make sure that you understood this, let me give you another example. But this time, I'm going to try and make it a little bit harder. So let's say the birthday is the 22nd of the 12th, so the 22nd of December. So when I come back into the room, all my wing has to say to me is, so go ahead and tell us what it is. I know you're not going to get this, but go ahead, you may as well try anyway. So my wing has communicated to me using the psychic code saying, so go, I go. Now this one is pretty tricky, so maybe there was a chance that I missed one of the psychic code cues. So then all I need to do is let my wing know that I missed it. So all I need to say is, you're a hard person to read. Then my wing knows that I missed the cue, and then he can give me the code again. So my wing says to me, so go on, try harder. I think you won't get it. Go on, give it a go. Now, this time I should have been able to figure out the birthday, but the trick is to play it up and look at your subject and say, okay, just think of it, picture it in your head, okay, look at me. Now, this isn't some favored psychology thing, it's just a guess, all right? If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. Okay, ready? The 22nd of December. So then you've just guessed your target's birthday. And if everything went according to plan, as it usually does with the looking glass technique, then right now your target will be amazed and asking you how you did it, and they'll be thinking that you have some kind of special power. Now, whatever you do, don't tell them how you did it. Now, if you're alone and you want to do the solo version, then the first thing you need is a tool called a Swami Writer. Basically, a Swami Writer is a tool used by magicians, which lets you write on a piece of paper using just your thumb. So if you can imagine, you're holding a piece of paper, and it's at the right angle so your target can't see what it is you're about to write. So you can make it look like you're reading their mind, whereas in fact, what you're actually doing is getting them to tell you their middle initial, and then you're writing it down on the piece of paper using only your thumb. Now, you can pick up a Swami Writer for less than $20, and in my opinion, it's definitely worth it, as this is an awesome social proof trick, and it's also a good lead-up to the second part of the looking glass technique. So if you do want to buy a Swami Writer, then just go to Google and search for one, and you will find a whole bunch of online stores that sell them. If you don't want to spend money on a Swami Writer, then you can use this one trick. First of all, what you need is some super glue. And I know it seems strange, but you'll see why in just a second. And you also want to get yourself some pencil leads that go inside one of those click pencils. And you can easily find them on the internet by going to Google again. And you want to get a soft lead because when it's written down, it looks more like you've actually used the pencil. Then what you need to do is just break off a small amount of the lead, and then you can just put some super glue on the end and stick it under your thumbnail. And then when you move your thumb, you can write on the paper without using the pencil. So one thing I will say is you just need to be sure that you're doing it at the right angle so that your target will not see you using your thumb to write on the paper. The other thing you need is a pencil, so it looks like you're actually using a pencil, and you need something to write on. Now, when you're doing this part of the looking glass, there's a chance the person will say to you, hey, why do you carry around a pencil and a piece of paper? They probably won't, but there's always a chance. The way to get around it is to have a folded up map that you've printed off from Google Maps, and then you can write on the blank side of the paper. And you also want to carry around with you a hotel pencil. So if someone asks you why you carry around a piece of paper and a pencil, you can just say, no, this is just a map of a party that I've got to show my face at later. And also, I've got this pencil just from the hotel I'm staying at right now. And then you can just move on and continue with the rest of the looking glass technique. So to do that, just say to your target, do you have a middle initial, yes or no? And usually they'll say yes. And then you can just say, okay, just think of it, picture it in your head, look at me. And as you say that, make it look like you're using the pencil to write down something on the piece of paper. And then you can continue and say, all right, what is it? If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. And then they will tell you what it is. So let's say that it's the letter C. So once you know that, then you can use your thumb and you can write down the letter C on your piece of paper. And then as you're writing down C, you can say, so what do you think are the statistical probabilities of me getting this right or wrong? Then your target will probably say something like, I have no idea. Or if they're smart, they might say 3.846153. But the point is, it doesn't make a difference what they say, because all you're doing is giving yourself enough time to write the initial or the middle name. So once you've written it down, then show it to them, and they'll be amazed and they'll have no idea how you did it. And then that is the first part of the looking glass technique if you're doing it solo. The second part, which we're about to get into right now, is all about cold reading your subject to demonstrate a real understanding of their reality and to pull them into your world. So if you've never heard of cold reading before, it's about telling people truisms about themselves without actually knowing anything about their personality or their background. And if you've ever seen a psychic, a medium, or a spiritualist perform on TV, or if you've ever seen someone in real life give the illusion that they have some kind of paranormal abilities, then you've definitely seen someone using cold reading. Because cold reading is the only reason why psychics appear to have any insight into someone's past, present, or future. And I'm about to show you just how powerful and manipulative it can be, and how you can use this cold reading covertly anytime you want to influence anyone, any place, any time. So to give you a better understanding of just how powerful cold reading can be, let me introduce you to the Forer's experiment, which took place in 1948. Basically, what happened was Forer gave out a personality test to his students, and he told them after they handed the test back that he would score the test and then give them an individual assessment of their personality. But what actually happened is Forer gave out the same analysis to every student, and the analysis he gave out was just one he copied from a newspaper astrology column. Then after all the students had read their apparently individual personality analysis, they were then asked to rate the description on a scale of 0 through to 5, with 5 being the most accurate. The average rating that the students gave to the personality analysis was 4.26. So even though every student had the exact same personality analysis, they all said it was pretty accurate. So what the Forer experiment shows us is that people will accept generalized descriptions of their personalities without realizing the same generalized description could apply to nearly anyone. So when it comes to this part of the looking glass technique, we're going to be using the same approach a psychic uses to convince people that we're actually reading their minds. And the way we can use this for the looking glass technique is to understand that every human experience falls into a few basic categories. And the categories are friends, family, love, sex, adventure, travel, money, health, work, and business. And once you understand that, you'll realize that whenever you hear a psychic doing their reading, they always seem to say the same kind of things. And the reason for that is because cold reading is basically making vague statements to your subject that could apply to almost anyone, and then letting your subject interpret the vague statement in their own way so that it seems like what you've said to them is actually quite direct and specific, whereas in fact you're not being direct or specific at all. So as an example, one of the cold reads that you will often hear a psychic say is, what I'm getting from you is that you had an accident when you were younger. And I've heard this cold read in pretty much every cold read I've ever heard, and the reason behind it is because it's really so vague, and I would say that it can be applied to 99.99% of people. I mean, put it like this. Let's say I'm cold reading a guy, and he's 45 years old, and I say to him, what I'm getting from you is that you had some kind of accident when you were younger. Well, first of all, when I say the words, when you were younger, I could be talking about 40 years ago, or I could be talking about 1 year ago. Because the point is, if this guy is 45 years old, then there is a good chance that he's had some kind of accident at some point in his life. So chances are he will apply this vague statement to some accident he's had in his own life. And when I say the word accident, it's vague, and so it could mean anything. It could be falling off his bike, or it could be nearly drowning in a lake, or it could be a car accident, anything. And that's the point of cold reading. By making vague statements that apply to almost anyone, it makes it seem like you're making statements that are so direct and specific, whereas in fact, that's not what you're doing at all. Okay, so let's move on and get to the good stuff. But first, one point I want to make here is when you're using the looking glass technique, whether you're using the guessing the birthday trick or the guessing the middle initial trick, then you're using the cold reading technique that we're about to get into. You never want to say that you're psychic or that you're using psychic powers, because people will just find you weird and creepy. Instead, when people ask you how you're able to know so much about them, just say that people have this predictability about them and you're using your intuition about a person, or that you're just really good at understanding people. And then when you frame the looking glass technique like that, the whole process becomes much more mysterious, and people will be drawn in, and they will see you as someone who has value. They will see you as the alpha and as the controller. So as I've already said, you want to introduce this technique as part of a normal conversation. And don't go making a big deal out of it. Just act like you've just noticed something about your subject. So I usually say something like, you know, I've just realized something about you. And then, of course, they will usually ask what it is. And then I say, I bet I can tell you something about yourself that people probably don't know. And then they'll ask me what the thing is that I've noticed. And then I'll make a mini cold read based on what I can observe about the person I'm talking to. So I might say something like, what I see from you when I talk to you is this really soft center. But I think over the years, you've kind of built this hard armored shell around yourself. Now, this kind of mini cold read is so vague, and it applies to almost everyone. So without a doubt, they will agree and ask me, how did I know that? And then what I do as a way to really hook them in to what I'm about to do is I say, because I'm watching your eyes when you talk, and every time you think about something, your eyes go down and to the left. And that means that you're a kinesthetic person. So you're someone who lives in their feelings. So can you see what I'm doing here? I'm demonstrating value by teaching her about her eye accessing cues. And you will know how to do this. I teach you all about eye accessing cues in the lie detector section of this course. So just pay attention to their eye movements and use what you find out. And then I'll go into the whole cold reading piece. And the whole idea behind it is to make your subject agree with your cold reads and say yes as much as possible. The second thing you need to do is anytime they seem unsure and they're saying maybe, then you need to turn maybes into yeses. And the last thing you need to do is anytime that they flat out say no, then you need to turn that no into a maybe. And the way you do that is by using this system. Yes equals and, no equals but, maybe equals and. So using that system, cold reading basically goes like this. First of all, you want to make a generalized statement. If your target reacts positively, so they're saying yes, you can carry on in the direction that you're heading with your statements. If they say maybe, you can keep on going in the same direction, and if your subject says no to any of your statements, or gives you a response that's negative, and they're not agreeing with you, then just say but, and then expand on the statement with another generalized statement. So as an example, the first cold read I make about a person, I would usually say something that I'm pretty sure they're going to agree with. So I would say something like, I can tell you have a pretty likable personality, and generally, you're the kind of person who gets along well with other people. Okay, so that's the first statement I usually make, and the reason why I always use something like that as the first statement is because it's not too personal, and how many people are really going to say, no, I don't have a likable personality, and people don't like me. So there's a pretty good chance that they are going to agree with me right from the start, and this is what I'm aiming for. So the first three statements I make are designed so that I can get a good yes ladder. A yes ladder is something that we speak about in the cube section of this course. But just to recap, basically a yes ladder is three affirmative answers in a row. So then I would say something like, and I would say that you have a good sense of humor, and this helps you connect with people really quickly. So again, this statement of having a good sense of humor is usually going to get me an affirmative answer. So then I would continue on with my yes ladder and say, and also I think that a lot of times people see you as the type of person who's quite social, and sometimes maybe even the life and soul of the party. Now, chances are that this last statement is going to get me another affirmative answer. So now my yes ladder is complete, so I step it up a gear and I start digging a little bit deeper. So carrying on from the last statement, here's how the whole thing sounds. And also, I think that a lot of times people see you as the type of person who's quite social, and sometimes maybe even the life and soul of the party. But at the same time, I think maybe sometimes you feel like it's all kind of an act, kind of like you're playing a part, and I think sometimes you even wonder who the real you is. So by this point, we've created a yes ladder, so the odds are in our favor that they're going to agree with me. So the next thing I say is, and I bet sometimes you even consciously try and avoid being part of a group because you don't like the idea of being a follower, and you don't like the idea of just doing what everyone else does just to fit in. And I would say that this is partly because maybe you've been made to feel isolated from certain groups in the past, like maybe when you were younger, or maybe from time to time you've been made to feel like kind of an outsider. Now, chances are that my target is going to agree with this statement, because no one wants to be known as a follower. Everyone likes to think of themselves as an individual. So then I would continue on and I would say, and I bet sometimes maybe you even find yourself watching everything going on around you, and you just feel like you don't know what to say or what to do to get involved. Now, with the last statement, I'm willing to bet that there's not a single person who at some point in their life hasn't been in one of those kind of situations where maybe you're at some kind of social event and everyone just seems to be having a good time, but yet for some reason you're there and you don't know what to say or what to do to get involved. You just kind of stand there looking interested and smiling along with the conversation, but really you're analyzing things in your head and watching everything going on around you. Everyone has been in that position, and it's a universal experience. So chances are your target is going to agree with you with that statement. So then you can continue on, and the next thing you say is, and I bet sometimes you even play conversations back in your head, and you wonder what it was that the person really meant when they said whatever it was that they said to you. So again, this statement was in line with the previous statement, and who hasn't had one of those times when someone has said something to you, and it's really affected you, and it may have only been that someone said something to you, it was just a small comment, or it may have been something bigger. But we all do it. We all think over things and play conversations back in our head and try to work out what that person really meant when maybe they didn't even mean anything at all. So this is just another good cold read to use. And then I will usually follow up with something like, and I can tell that you're the kind of person who's not just pushed around all the time, but at the same time, I think you feel like there's a part of you that can be easily hurt. And because of that, you're a lot more careful with your feelings than you used to be. So let's take a look at what I've just said to my target. First of all, I said she's not the kind of person who's just pushed around. Well, first of all, how many people actually like to think of themselves as someone who's pushed around? And secondly, even if they are, how likely are they to admit to it? And that's what makes their mind decide it's okay to agree with this statement. So then I go on and I say that there's a part of her that can be easily hurt. Well, that is true for everybody. We can all be easily hurt, so she's going to agree with me with that one. And then finally, I go on and I say she's more careful with her feelings than she used to be. And that is true for everyone, so it's a statement I can easily get away with. So then I would continue on and I would say, and I think that you're more careful with your feelings now than maybe you used to be, because I think that in a way you've also learned to protect yourself by keeping people at a distance until you decide that they're allowed over that line into your close group of friends. So when I say you've learned to keep people at a distance, then she has to agree with it because she already agreed with the previous statement of being careful with her feelings. Because no one who is careful with their feelings is going to be the kind of person who just meets people and gives them their full trust and lets them into their life right away. So then I can say, And because of this kind of protectiveness that you've built around yourself over the years, I think that maybe to some people you can come across as a little bit cold or distant. I don't know, what do you think? Then next, I always say something like, and there's actually a side of you that you keep hidden from people, and people never see it. And I think that that's something that people don't normally realize about you, because they just see you as quite a strong person on the outside. But between you and me, you're actually very sensitive. And I think there's times in the past when you've been so much hurt by things that they've actually changed your whole outlook on life, haven't they? Okay, so let's break down that section for you so you can get more of an idea about how it works. First of all, we said that she has a side that she keeps hidden from people. Now, the truth is, we all do. We all have thoughts that are personal to us, and most of the time, we never tell anyone about them. And because of the statement that's actually a side to you that you keep hidden from other people, it really makes her feel that you have an understanding of her reality. And this is such a powerful concept, and that's what the whole looking glass technique is based on. Okay, then I go on to say that it's something that people don't normally realize about her. And what this does is really amplify the feeling that I understand her and that no one else gets her except for me. Next, I say people see you as quite strong on the outside, but between you and me, you're actually very sensitive. Now, again, this works as an amplifier, and it helps her realize that there are things about her that I've picked up on that most people never will, which makes me look like a knight in shining armor compared to everyone else. And finally, I say that I think there's times in your past when you've been hurt so much by things that they've actually changed your whole outlook on life, haven't they? Now, this statement is similar to something I've already said to the subject about her having a part of her that could be easily hurt. So now she is more protective with her feelings. And so, if I know that she agreed with it the first time, then I know that she will agree with it again. And this time, I put a twist on it, and I say that the things that hurt her have actually changed her whole outlook on life. Which again is true for anyone. If we're hurt by something, then we always remember that, and we always carry it around with us for the rest of our life, because that's how humans learn. We learn from mistakes, and every day of our lives we have a constant battle to move towards things that cause us pleasure, and to avoid the things that cause us pain. So, if she's been hurt by something, of course it's changed her outlook on life. Okay, next I would say something like, and I can tell that there was a time in your life, maybe in your teenage years, when you felt misunderstood, and you felt kind of like you couldn't really get close to anyone. Now, the reason this statement is always a good one to make is because everybody you meet has felt misunderstood at some point in their life. And for most people, that time is when they're a teenager, so it works as a good example to throw in there. Then I always say something like, and something else I can see in you is that maybe deep down, sometimes you wonder if the job you're in right now is the right one for you. And I think there's a part of you that sometimes wonders what it would be like to try something new or make a living doing something completely different. Now, this statement, again, is true for almost everyone. Unless they're a millionaire or an actor or something along those lines, then most everyday people would have thought at some time if they're in the right job. Even someone who's had the same job for most of their life, the reason why they're still there isn't always because they love what they do, but instead it's because of fear. So I think almost everyone can relate to that statement on some level. And then next up, if the response has been positive, and you can see that they're agreeing with you, you can just follow up with something like, and I think you're quite a creative person, and you've probably thought about how you could use that creative part of you to make a living out of it. And I get the impression from you that when you were younger, people said that you had some kind of talent or ambition. And I think this talent is something that you could have developed, but there's a part of you that feels like you haven't really had the opportunity to develop this talent in a way that maybe your parents or your friends or maybe even your teachers imagine that you would. Okay, now chances are, if your subject has thought about changing career, then they've also thought about what it is that they could do. And if they have, then that means that they've probably thought about doing something that they're passionate about. And a lot of times our passions manifest when we're a lot younger. So of course it makes sense to them that there's a part of them which feels they haven't had the chance to develop this talent into something. So then next up I would say, and along those same lines, I get the impression from you that maybe you play an instrument, or maybe in the past you thought about playing an instrument, but you've since abandoned the idea, or you're less interested in it. Now the reason I like this statement is because most people at some point in their life have thought about learning to play an instrument, even if it was just when they were a child. It will still relate to this statement. And out of those people who have thought about learning to play an instrument, a good percentage of them will have taken the time to learn. So chances are I will get an affirmative answer. If I don't, and she tells me she's never thought about learning to play an instrument, then I can just say, but, because as we spoke about, when they say no, then you need to try and change that no into an affirmative answer. So I say, but, there is this really creative side to you. So if it's not an instrument, then it must be that you've tried some kind of creative writing, like writing a book or poetry or something like that. Now remember, we've already had a positive answer from her that she had some kind of talent when she was younger. So if it wasn't playing an instrument, then there is a good chance that it's something to do with writing. So that's why I say creative writing or poetry or something like that. Now if she agrees with me, then that's fine and we can move on. But if the answer she gives me is still a negative answer, then I just ask her what it was. Because remember, the point of this isn't saying that you're psychic and you know everything about her. The point is that you're saying that you're good at reading people and good at understanding people. So you don't have to hit everything on the head. Just ask her what it is. So after she's either given me an affirmative answer or I've asked her what her creative talent was, then I will steer the cold reading into another direction and say, and also, I see you as someone who's driven and someone who works hard for the things they've got in life. You're not one of those people who just gets everything given to them and everything just goes right for them. In fact, with you, I would say that you've had a lot of barriers in your life and people saying no and problems, but you've overcome them. Now, the statement I just made is quite a risky one, as you can never know for sure if a person is someone who works hard for the things they've got in life, but it's normally quite easy to tell. You will normally get some kind of idea just by talking to a person. If she does say no, she hasn't worked hard, and she's been given everything, then all you need to do is use the system and say something like, but, even though you've always been given everything you've ever wanted, I think at the same time, normally there are a lot of people who come from a privileged background. Their parents just give them everything they want, and then when they grow up, their parents just aren't proud of them at all. But what's different about you is I can see that there's parts of your life that you've worked hard at, and there's problems that you've faced in your life, and you've overcome them, and your parents are proud of you for that. I think that deep down there's something that you can feel is right, can't you? So can you see that just by using the word but, and then feeding her another vague statement all about her parents being proud of her because of the problems that she's overcome, has made her forget that I was wrong about the previous statement and made her think that this was what I was talking about the whole time. And because of that, she feels that I was right. Now, the next thing you can move on to is something about her parents. So, for example, I might say something like, I also get the feeling that maybe your relationship with your parents is not as strong as it used to be, or maybe not as strong as you'd like it to be. Now, again, there's a good chance that she will agree with this statement. So, if she does, then I'll continue by saying, and even though there's this strain on the relationship, there's a part of you that wants to try and work things out, but maybe because of things that have happened recently, you feel frustrated with the whole idea and think that your parents are even completely unaware that you feel this way. So let's say you get an affirmative answer for the last statement. Then you can talk about her relationship with her parents some more. And then when you come to the end of your cold reading, you can use a closer, which is a statement where you talk about the future and you tell them that you see good things coming their way. This is the kind of thing that psychics always do. And the reason why they do it is so that you leave the reading on a high note and it makes you feel good. And makes you feel like you've enjoyed the whole process. So here's the kind of thing that I might choose as a closer. I might say something like, and I think that in the future, I would say that you shouldn't be afraid to let people in, even though you feel that there's a part of you that you should hide from other people. Because if you let people in, I feel like you'll be able to really start to see your life going the way you want it to. And you'll have all the people you want to have around you, and all the things you want in life will come a lot easier to you than they have in the past. Okay, so that was the second part of the looking glass technique. And that was just a quick cold read that would probably take around 10 minutes to do. But of course, you could do it for as long as you like and take it as deep as you like, depending on her reactions to your statements. And there are ways that you can make the looking glass technique even more powerful where you use what we call warm reading. And that's where you actually find out information about them before you do the technique. So this is just one example. But let's say you know you have a date with this person, and you're planning on using the looking glass technique. As long as you know your date's name, then you could easily go to Facebook, find out some details about her, then use that in your reading. So just some of the things that you might be able to find out would be where they were born, their parents' names, if they have any brothers or sisters, their year of birth, what their hobbies and interests are, their taste in music, what kind of TV shows they watch, and maybe even more information than that. So you can find out these details, and you can use them when you're doing the looking glass. So if you know your brother's name is Nick, then you could say, "And I'm getting the impression from you that you're not an only child, are you? I think that you have at least one brother or sister. And I would say that it's a brother, and his name begins with an M or an N or something." And of course, when you say that, she's going to be freaking out, asking you how you know that. And again, all you say is that you're good at reading people. So can you see how powerful this technique can be? And when you use that information when you're doing the looking glass, people flip out. They have no idea how you're doing it, and it's insanely powerful. When you use this stuff, you honestly never have to worry about being the alpha again. You never have to worry about being higher value or anything, because this type of advanced technology will make you the most interesting person in a room, or at a bar, or wherever you happen to be. And that's the whole point of the looking glass technique. And that's the reason why you can persuade anyone to do anything. So you can instantly change people's minds to do anything you want. And just by internalizing this stuff, you're going to be the one who is outsmarting, outthinking, and outplaying anybody who you happen to meet.